Radio Prague News. The Communist Party has set three conditions under which it would support the next new proposed government. Results of an opinion poll suggest that 53% of Czechs want an independent expert to form a new government. And police say a Russian mafia boss who was deported from the Czech Republic in the 1990s is back in Prague. The Communist Party has set three conditions under which it would support a new proposed government. It would have to guarantee better living standards, halt plans to control the budget deficit with the privatization of the power utility CEZ or any other such institution, and uphold the sovereignty of the state, which they say could be threatened by the presence of foreign bases on Czech territory. On Tuesday, the first attempt at forming a new government after the June elections failed as the minority Civic Democrat cabinet of Mirek Topolánek lacked enough votes to win a vote of confidence in the lower house of parliament. The communists and the country's governors have warmed up to the idea of a caretaker government of independent experts that would lead the country into early elections, while former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek would like to form a minority government of his Social Democrats, who won the second most votes in June. An opinion poll commissioned by Bravo newspaper suggests that 53% of the Czech population would like President Václav Klaus to entrust an independent expert with the forming of a new government. The poll, conducted by the STEM agency, also says 38% of the population would like to see former Social Democrat Minister Jiří Paroubek given the chance to form a government, while only 30% opted for current Civic Democrat Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek. A group of U.S. congressmen have called on to the government of the United States to begin dialogue with the newest EU members on the introduction of a visa-free policy. In a letter addressed to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, they ask for more cooperation with the nine countries and more relaxed traveling conditions. The petition was signed by 25 congressmen. And finally, police say a leading member of the Russian mafia who was deported from the Czech Republic in the 1990s is back in Prague. The owner of a Prague restaurant was found during a police raid. Anatoly Katrich has been asked to leave the country, Czech television reported on Saturday. The spokesperson for the Czech Police Organized Crime Unit says it is yet to be determined how Mr. Katrich got into the country. A quick look at the weather. The next few days should bring partly cloudy to overcast skies with rain showers and day temperatures between 12 and 16 degrees Celsius. And that's all the news for now. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Dita Asiedu. Up next, Daniela Lazarová looks at some of the more unusual stories that have been making the headlines in magazine. In Czech by Numbers, our Czech learning program, learn some of the phrases and terms that use numbers. And we'll be hearing from Gerhard Bubník, the first Czech to graduate from Harvard.
It is now official. The world's most beautiful woman is Czech. When 18-year-old Tatiana Kuchařová was decorated with a glittering crown and sash as Miss World 2007, Czech hearts might have swelled with pride. The only problem was no one was watching. Czechs who organized every possible kind of beauty contest under the sun after the Velvet Revolution and seemed unable to get enough had finally taken their fill. As a result, for the first time this year, none of the country's television channels bothered to transmit the Miss World contest. And of course, chance would have it that on this very year, the Czech contestant reached for the crown. It was a first in the 56 years of the contest's existence and is unlikely to be repeated anytime soon, which is why commercial TV Nova decided to make up for the omission. It bought the rights and viewers were able to see the two-hour show on October the 6th with the bonus of an interview with the winner. Tatiana arrived back in the Czech Republic on Thursday and got a boisterous welcome. Even the country's top politicians can't wait to meet Miss World in person. She has scheduled meetings with the mayor of Prague, the prime minister, and even the president. Tatiana's come a long way since she became Miss Milk at the age of 10. The Czech Republic also boasts the biggest folding picture book in the world. It's called The History of the Valiant Czech Nation and Some Inconsequential World Events. The book is 2 meters tall and an impressive 70 meters wide and takes up 3 rooms at the Ohlone Museum where it is currently on show. The book, which casts a comic and satirical slant on Czech history, has become a huge bestseller, in smaller size, of course. The book received the Magnesia Litera Award for children's books in 2003, the Golden Streamer and the Golden Seal Award for children's literature. A newspaper vendor in a Prague stall was called upon to act as midwife last week when a heavily pregnant young woman went out for a late-night stroll and decided to give birth right outside his newspaper stand. It was a terrible shock, the man said later. The woman just leaned against the stall and said that her water had broken and that she was going to give birth right away. The vendor called an ambulance, but because the woman was really giving birth right there and then, he had to take instructions over the phone from a medic and help her as well as he was able. Apparently, the baby was born within minutes, and when the ambulance arrived, the mother walked over to the car with a baby in her arms, while the white-faced, shell-shocked vendor and another man who happened to be nearby were both leaning against the traffic stand for support. Both needed a shot of brandy to get over the night's adventure. The mother and baby are reported to be doing well. Czech archaeologists have uncovered several mammoth bones during excavation work in the town of Ústí nad Labem, north of Prague, a unique find in northern Bohemia. Mammoths, who were around 3 meters tall and weighed some 4.5 tons, are believed to have reached Ústí nad Labem along the river Elbe. Previous findings include the remains of a rhinoceros, a wolf, and other animals. Scientists also hope to uncover instruments used by Paleolithic people, the mammoth's contemporaries. The find may be connected to the settlement of prehistoric hunters who lived along the Bylina River 20 to 30,000 years ago. The Prague Town Hall has a plan that should help to provide shelter for more homeless people during the winter months. It wants to buy a huge freight ship and turn it into a winter shelter for the homeless, with cabins for 250 people and a canteen for approximately the same number below deck. The ship would be manned by a charity organization, and the town hall would arrange for it to dock somewhere on the Vltava embankment. A great deal depends on whether the town hall will get a grant for the project from the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. The ship would cost around 21 million crowns, and the grant should cover approximately two-thirds of the cost. Giving homeless people shelter when the cold becomes life-threatening has become a big problem for the Czech capital. Prague has an estimated 6,000 homeless people, and others are drawn to the Czech capital when the weather makes life outdoors insufferable. Yet the city only has some 600 beds for them all. Last year, when temperatures dropped to minus 20 long term, the army pitched in to help, erecting army tents to serve as makeshift shelters on Letna Plain. Learning foreign languages later in life is not easy, as many Czechs could tell you. The generations of Czechs who spent their lives behind the Iron Curtain are having a hard time catching up, trying to become fluent in English or other world languages. No matter how hard they study their grammar books or how often they travel abroad, their Czech sentence structure and pronounced Czech accent always give them away. Many parents now want something better for their children, and although English lessons are now an important part of the school curriculum, there is interest in starting much, much earlier. In Zlín, kids are learning English before they can speak their own mother tongue. Helena Znělíková has set up nursery English classes for babies under the age of one. I didn't want my children to learn the hard way, and I wanted them to grow up bilingual, to hear English and get used to it from an early age, so it would be as natural to them as Czech, Helena says. She looked round for something appropriate, but there was nothing for children under two, so she set up the nursery class herself. Dozens of parents immediately signed up their babies, and she's now in business with a class of the youngest language students ever.
Daniela Lazarová there with Magazine. Now it's time for a weekly Czech lesson with Pavla Horáková, who looks at terms and phrases featuring numbers.
You are listening to Radio Prague's special Czech language course, Czech by Numbers, which explores numbers and their usage in everyday Czech speech. Today, Dieter Siedu and I will be looking at numbers to do with living and housing. If you look into any Czech real estate magazine or at an online catalogue, you will be overwhelmed by numbers. In fact, the first page on a real estate server where you first specify your demand is all numbers. If you are looking for a flat in Prague, for example, it will ask you which district from Prague 1,
Praha 1,
to Prague 10,
Praha 10.
Then there is the size of the flat. If it is given in square meters, it is quite understandable. But how about those strange numbers and acronyms? A foreigner has no way of knowing what a 2 plus 1,
2 plus 1,
or 3 plus KK,
3 plus KK,
means. Well, the first figure always states the number of bedrooms, or rather habitable rooms with the exception of kitchen. The number 1,
jedna,
or the letters after the plus sign, specify the type of kitchen in the flat. The acronym KK, or
KK,
stands for
Kuchiński kąt,
literally a kitchen corner, that is, a kitchenette. Then you will probably like to know which floor your flat is on. In Czech, the ground floor,
přízemí,
counts as a zero, and the one above is the first floor,
první patro,
and so on. But real estate agents like to make things look nicer, so they will call the ground floor
první nadzemní podlaží,
that is, the first above the ground floor, to make it sound more attractive. There are also apartment categories. They have survived from before the fall of communism and specify whether a flat has central heating, hot water, a flush toilet, etc. Things that we now take for granted but weren't so natural only a couple of decades ago in some old buildings. So a first category flat,
byt první kategorie,
has all the amenities and is in a good condition. The higher the number of the category, the poorer the state of the apartment. Double glazing,
dvojitá skla,
is something absolutely natural and has been as far as anyone can remember in this country. But these days, especially in noisy cities, you may require your flat to have triple glazing,
trojitá skla,
to reduce the noise. And that is all for today's edition. Next time we'll be back with some more Czech expressions using numbers. Till then, goodbye.
Naschledanou. And that was Czech by Numbers with Pavla Horáková. In case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague's English service. Now another chance to hear this week's one-on-one with Jarka Halková.
Gerhard Bubnik is a successful attorney, a former international figure ice skating referee, and a highly respected professional. Despite all his achievements in both law and skating, Gerhard Bubnik will be most likely remembered as the very first Czech to graduate from Harvard Law School. When I met Mr. Bubnik recently, I began by asking him if he remembered his decision to apply to Harvard.
I remember quite well because I applied sometimes in April 67. It was my very, very own private initiative. It has nothing to do with the government or with the university. It was suggested to me by an American lawyer who was also a politician, Harold Isthassen, who used to be advisor to President Eisenhower. And we worked together on a case, and he suggested to me, why don't you apply to a U.S. university? There are a number of scholarships and so. Well, after a while, I followed his recommendation, and I sent just a letter of application. Of course, I had to send all my university records. I have to pass the English language test, TOEFL, at the American embassy. I never thought I had any chance to be admitted. So after having filed it in April 67 and not having any reply for almost a year, I completely forgot that I did apply. And just exactly 1 year later, I got a letter that I was admitted. I was so shocked, and I was asked to come almost immediately because I was also offered a summer program in American law as a kind of preparation for the different mode of study, which is so different from the Czech. I must say that now the foreign students studying at Harvard Law School, we were studying still less than the American students because we were not used to such hard work. At the beginning, I thought, based on my experience from home, if I study every day like 4 or 5 hours, that's a lot. That would be more than I have ever done. But that was not enough. Week after week, I saw that I have to add more hours and more hours. And then I practically finish up with additional 8 hours of work.
It must have been a really tough life.
It was really so, exactly, because all my life was just to study and I didn't have much fun except that American families affiliated to Harvard University and to the law school were very hospitable, and we got very often invitations to the homes of the American families. So that was very nice, but that was the only way how could I enjoy some other things except studying.
So you started just after the invasion. Was easy to leave the country? What was the reaction of your family?
It was not a question of leaving the country. I was already out. I remember well that at this summer program at Princeton, at the end of August, we had so-called moot examination to learn how examination at the American law school looked like. And I was sitting the very, very last exam on the 21st of August, 68, when the radio at the university announced that there was invasion of the Russians in Czechoslovakia. It was a big shock for me. Not only was I depressed, but I didn't know what to do. I had no contact with my family. That contact was renewed about 5 weeks later. At that time, my friends and my family wrote that so far nothing has changed and that I should not come back, that I should finish my studies. So I did continue, but of course my stay in the U.S. was marred by this knowledge, by the notion of that invasion and uncertainty.
When you were there in the United States, the invasion here, why did you come back?
I would say that I am so deeply rooted here, not only in Czech Republic, especially in Prague. I have been traveling a lot in my life since my childhood, but it never occurred to me that I could live permanently in any other country or any other city than Prague.
When you came back, a fresh graduate of such a good school, did it help you to find a job?
Before going to Harvard, I was already practicing attorney, and I just continued. Otherwise, at that time, of course, it hasn't helped me. I applied to the Charles University, which was my alma mater, because I have a doctor's degree in law, also from the Charles University in Prague, to so-called recognize my Harvard law degree. And that was politically so difficult, nobody dared to do that, that my application was processed almost 10 years. And after that, I withdrew my application because I didn't want to create problems for the professors or for the dean of the law school, because either they would have to recognize it and might face troubles from the communists, or they would have to deny it, which would be very embarrassing for them too. So I withdrew my application. I didn't need the recognition of that degree.
Was it ever recognized?
No. After that, I never asked again, and it's recognized in my life and in my practice. I have the diploma, which you can see here on my wall.
What were advantages that graduating such a school gave you, if any?
It changed whole style of my work. It changed my legal way of thinking, my approach to problems. I would look not for clear answers immediately in the statutes or so. I would look for problems which I might face when representing the interests of my client.
You worked as a lawyer, but then you became a referee for figure ice skating. How did that happen?
I have been a skater myself when I was young. Because of my legal studies, I finished my sport career. But then I started to become a judge in figure skating. And through the years, I climbed up the ladder and became international judge and then championship judge, Olympic judge. 10 years ago, I have been appointed legal advisor of the Council of the International Skating Union. So I'm now part of the top management of the International Skating Union. And because of that, I couldn't judge anymore. But I'm involved in the skating because I work in the Council of the Internet Skating Union. I still go to all the championship and Olympics, and I participate in the development of the new judging system, which is now used.
You are pretty busy, still working. You are 70, 71. Have you ever thought of retirement?
I was thinking of retirement, but I never really did retire, so I continue my work as a lawyer. But at the moment, I practically devote all my time to the work for the Internet Skating Union. I still do a lot of sports. I ski, I play tennis, I play golf. In that respect, I'm very fortunate, because beside my work, sport is really something what I cannot live without.
Are there any dreams you still keep in your mind, you still want to fulfill?
Well, I try to be realistic. Being 71, it would be rather very courageous to have dreams for the future. My great wish is to stay healthy as long as possible so that I can enjoy those activities which I mentioned. Also, I like to go to my office. What I don't like is to stay at home and be idle.
Thank you for talking to me.
Mostly welcome.
Jarka Halková was speaking there to the first Czech who graduated from Harvard, Gerhard Bubník. And that's it from us today. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget, you can visit our website, www.radio.cz/English, where you can review our older programs and listen or read them. So in both text and sound. I'm Dita Asieru. Goodbye and have a nice weekend.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.com. CZ/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.